Good afternoon. This is KVRF. My name is Dan Grota. I'm a co-host here on Tuesday mornings. And I have with me via landline, way across on the East Coast, the author of Flashes of War, short stories by Katie Schultz. Hello, Katie. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great. I love having you on the air here. Hey, where are you at right now?
Well, I'm in my home, which is a 1970 vintage Airstream trailer. It's a 31-footer, and she's up on blocks. It's my permanent home here in Celo, North Carolina, which is at the base of the Black Mountains and Mount Mitchell, the highest peak in the east.
Oh, wow. That sounds like it's gorgeous country there. Are you still on the book tour?
Well, here and there. It's not as busy as it has been. In May, it will be 1 year since the book's release, so I've got about one trip a month scheduled already now through the fall, and I may have more coming up because I just learned that the book is finalist for Book of the Year in War and Military Fiction from Forward Reviews.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask you on that one because I know it was it got Book of the Year for 2013 by the Military Writers Society of America. And this was the other award you were talking about on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had my fingers crossed for this one. So it's really awesome to have made it this far. And if people don't know about the Forward Reviews Awards, it's an awesome source for just getting like your reading list to go off of from the year. Even the judges are librarians and professors and authors from all over the country that support indie publishing and indie book selling, and so they sort of narrow things down, and I'm definitely going to be buying some books off the list for sure. They announce the winners in July.
Oh, wow. Well, that'll be good. I hope you do get it. You said you were number one on that particular list?
Well, I'm one finalist out of nine, so, you know, I'll find out more who the winner is in July.
Okay. Just what inspired you to write Flashes of War?
Well, it was a number of things. I'm pretty interested in language since words are my number one tool. And the military has its own language, which is fascinating and fun to use on the page. But also, since we've been engaged in the global war on terror for over a decade now, we're changing the way we speak day to day as a society, and I think that changes how we behave and how we develop, and in particular, it influences today's teenagers growing up around this language of the global war on terror, whether or not they actually are connecting words like jihadist, terrorist, or IED with what those things really mean is, I think, dependent on the individual, but the fact that those are sort of part of this new normative behavior is really going to have an influence on those kids and how they see their country in the world in the years to come. So I've been very interested in exploring it through my medium, which is fiction.
Wow. Now, when we met up here in Palmer for your reading of your book, can you describe just real quick what the book is all about for those who haven't read it yet and might be interested?
Sure. Yeah, it's a collection of short stories, and 26 of them are flash fictions, which means they're very short. They're 1 to 3 pages long. It's really fun. You can pick it up and put it down as need be, and it's a fun form to write. And it helps make the intense material a little bit more digestible because all of the stories involve characters who are somehow connected through the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. So military or civilian, adults or children, stateside or Iraq or Afghanistan, they all sort of connect in that way. And it looks at the tiny moments and impossible decisions that these characters are having to make against the backdrop of war. So it's not really like a shoot 'em up or like a big focus on battle scenes as much as it is about the humanizing elements of war.
Yeah, I was really impressed. And as you know, I'm a veteran of one of those wars, and I remember we started swapping stories back and forth, and it really blew me away that you told me that this is all from your head, you didn't interview any GIs or nothing like that, but yet it sounded like fellow soldiers, you know, just swapping stories. I really was convinced.
Well, I loved having you there. It was nice to meet you at Fireside Books and have an audience for my reading. And
it was a small one.
That's just fine. You know, I appreciate your feedback because I don't write necessarily to please any particular audience, but since this book has come out, obviously I'm really invested in how the veteran community responds to it. And so far that response has been overwhelmingly positive, and I really, I value that. I respect the veteran's opinion and opinion of the work. So it's been a great experience so far.
Yeah, it has been, at least for me. I got an article out. In fact, you put it on your blog. Thank you very much for putting the article out.
Sure.
Now, I know you haven't served. What did you do prior to writing this book? I think you mentioned something. You were a school teacher?
Oh, yeah. Before I went to graduate school for writing, I taught middle school to teenagers. So that's part of why I'm so interested in sort of how the long wars are impacting their development. And I've been writing full-time for 8 or 9 years now and supporting myself with that. For about half of that, and that takes on various forms. You know, I'll travel to teach workshops, or I'll critique work in progress from authors that are out there needing feedback, and sometimes I write for newspapers or magazines, just kind of where things are needed, and then of course I work on my own stories.
Yeah. Wow, that's really good. Hey, what have you learned from writing the book and maybe some changes in your thinking or stuff like that? What have you learned from the experience?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. I began most of these stories with unanswered questions, and that's how fiction begins for me. If I don't know the answer to something, I often imagine my way toward an answer that I can believe in, and I do that by making up a story that makes sense. One personal belief that I have, although you'll find if you read the book that it's not political, but before I began writing it, and it's a little embarrassing to admit, but for a long time I didn't understand why someone would enlist.
Oh.
I didn't understand why someone would sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel that way at all. Now I can think of lots of reasons why someone would sign up, and so that's a huge turnaround for me, and I'm happy that I'm more open-minded about it now. I think just in general, my thinking about war has changed, and this is going to sound very simple, but it was a sincere change for me. What I learned the most is just that war is complex.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, definitely.
Yeah, it's just not black and white, and you can do everything right and still be wrong, or you can do everything wrong and it can turn out right.
Yeah.
and that can be true for any side, any fighter or civilian, you name it. So that was a big thing for me to learn, and I don't really see myself changing my mind on that anytime soon.
No, I think you're right on the money on that one. In my article about you, I said you're a rare thing, a civilian who gets it. Did anyone say something similar about you or your book, Flashes of War?
I did get similar feedback, although I like the way you put it best. That meant a lot. Nathan Webster, who writes on his site War on Terror News, and he contributes to the New York Times, he's a Gulf War veteran. And he also was an embedded reporter in Iraq in this most recent war. He said that he initially requested a review copy of the book because he wanted to see how off-base a creative writing dilettante could go. And he was surprised in his review, he says, that he was the jerk because I did it right.
Yeah.
And he went on to praise the book, so that felt really good. And then I met a fellow in Sitka, actually, when I was there revising the book, because I wrote about half the book in Alaska.
Oh, wow.
And I read at the Kettleson Library there in Sitka, and I didn't have, the book wasn't out yet. I didn't even know I didn't even have a book contract. And at the end of my reading, a young man raised his hand for the Q&A, and he said, well, where did you serve?
Yeah, I was asking you the same thing.
And so that felt like a vote of confidence to me. That really made me feel like I could keep going with what I was writing, and that someone who'd been there believed my words enough and believed the emotion, really, enough to feel transported there. So that meant a lot to me.
Yeah, it. When you were doing the readings at the bookshop there, I definitely had that feeling. I was definitely taken back. It felt like I was really there, and I was really talking to a fellow GI about our experiences. And it was really amazing that yours were works of fiction, very, very good, realistic fiction, and it really had an impact. I really enjoyed that. And your book not only just has stories from fictional GIs and stuff like that, but also family members and also people caught in the middle of a war that happens literally in their backyard.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind, and you managed to get into these characters' heads and you get the environment right. There was only one or two glitches, though. Nothing bad, don't worry. No private in his right mind after graduating basic training in AIT will call a sergeant, sir.
Mm-hmm.
He'll do push-ups forever. I caught that was, it was in the story about the newbies, the cherries coming up.
And
one of the privates goes, sir, do I have to do something else? And he goes off. The normal response from an NCO, and I'm an old NCO, would be, sir, you don't call me sir, I work for a living. Now drop, get knockout 25.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
no,
what would he call him, by his rank?
By his rank, sergeant.
Okay.
You know, yes, sergeant, or sergeant first class, or whatever. You know, no way, sir, no way.
Mm-hmm.
I did that a couple times in basic training, and believe me, I was doing push-ups and mountain climbers until he was tired.
Mm.
No, and then I made a mistake of calling one by his last name, and oh, God.
Uh-oh.
that was a miserable 20 minutes of, push-up Hades, yeah. I can't really say the H-E-double-L hockey stick thing on
uh-huh.
there. But yeah, that got knocked into me. And when I enlisted, it was a long, long, long time ago, back when Jimmy Carter was president. Okay. Next question here on my list of stuff. I understand there's another book on the horizon. Is that true?
Well, I'm working on it, yes. I don't have a publisher yet. I'm working through the third draft of a novel that takes place in Afghanistan, and it features a character named Nathan, who is actually in a story in Flashes of War.
Oh.
And when I wrote that story, I just thought, who is this guy? I'm really interested in him. I want to know more about how he works. And he kind of stayed with me. And so a couple years later, he's still hanging around, and I'm following him as he leads a platoon on their last mission outside the wire for this particular tour.
Oh, wow. Now, that does sound really interesting. This is going to be a full-blown novel. It's not going to be a series of short stories like your book, Flashes of War.
Yeah.
Oh. And this reminds me of reading about another author. Basically, his character, it was Robert E. Howard, and he wrote the character Conan the Barbarian. I know it's a little bit of a sidetrack, but the character came out fully fleshed in his head, and he was just like writing the stories down like he was sitting down with the guy and swapping stories, and he was fully fleshed in his head. And it sounds
wow.
like this Nathan character that you're talking about is the same thing.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know that I still feel like I'm trying to get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to take a few more drafts, but I think what's fully fleshed out for me, not so much the character, but is that I believe in him. I believe in this, the emotions that he has. And so I feel like I can bring him to life, as they say, on the page because of that. But it's a slow slog. It's a lot of work. It's very challenging for me because I'm used to writing short, and I've never studied how to write a novel. My degree is actually in nonfiction, so this is way far afield. But
I think you rise to the challenge.
Thank you. I peck away at it a little bit every day, and boy, I can't seem to get it done fast enough. But when I do have it done, I will aim as high as I can to try and get it out there.
Well, so far from what I've read in the current book here, and I'm looking forward to the next one. The sound of it, it sounds really, really, really good. I like the feel on it. All right, the book tour. In your blog, you talk about your book tour a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where have you been all over this country, and what was it like?
Well, it was really exciting and exhausting at the same time. I just recently, when I met you, I was in Palmer and Girdwood and Anchorage, a couple different spots in Anchorage, read all over northern Michigan because I knew some folks up there. Read a good bit in Oregon because that's where I grew up, and in North Carolina because that's where I live now. But then also, I'll be in New York next week. I'll be in Boston in July. I'll be in D.C. in October. So it sounds very, very glamorous, and at times it is. At times someone makes a fancy hotel reservation or says really wonderful things about me when I'm introduced. And there's a big crowd. And other times it's pretty ordinary, you know, my name is spelled wrong, or nobody shows up, or as is the case with 98% of my public events, I'm paying to get myself there and back. So that's the other side of it. It's hard work.
That can be spendy.
Yeah, you gotta wanna do it. It helps to have friends. In Alaska I know a lot of great people, and everyone there is so generous. So I got to borrow a car, and I stayed for free with a friend, and they fed me, and, you know, it's things like that that make it possible.
Well, that's a good deal.
And one thing leads to another, you know. It always, even if one person shows up to your reading, it matters. And it makes a difference. Well, so I believe in putting that hard work in.
All right. Actually, there was two at your reading up here, me and Dave.
That's right. It didn't help that it was spring break and sunny with 5 inches of powder, but we had a good time.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it. It looked like you were definitely right at home up here. Are you coming up here anytime soon?
I'd love to. I would love to. Any chance I get, I come up there. But I was just there last month, so
yeah.
It probably won't happen again until next year. I try and get up there once a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully by that time you have a book out, your next book out. You have a working title on it, or...? Is that sort
yeah,
of
it's called, the working title is called The Longest Day of the Year.
Oh.
Because it's their last day on their last tour outside the wire.
Wow. I'm really looking forward to that. Just one quickie. You mentioned some of the reactions from other veterans. Were a lot of those OIF and OEF vets, you know, from Iraq and Afghanistan?
Yeah, so far, I believe most of them have been either that or Gulf War veterans that went back to Iraq or Afghanistan as embedded reporters. And then the Vietnam Veterans of America did give the book a favorable review. So that meant a lot.
Yeah, it does. Well, any last thoughts for us before we sign off?
I love Alaska. I'll put that out there. You know, it's where my heart is. I wrote half the book there, and it's so spacious and inspiring that it's been a very, very big part of my creative process to spend time in your state and really balance out the intensity of writing about war and the intensity of sitting at the desk for so many hours with the open space and the fresh air and the spirit of exploration that I find when I'm there, and of hospitality. So I'm glad Alaska's there. I'm going to keep coming back and get as much of it as I can.
Oh, good. I look forward to it. And yeah, you're preaching to the choir on that one. This place has been a big inspiration book for me as well. It's healed me from a lot of my hurts, especially from that wonderful time in Iraq. So,
Well, I really appreciate the your response to my work, and I hope that if there are some skeptics out there or folks who don't ordinarily pop into a bookstore, that they might consider picking this one up, because it's an easy entry point into short stories and into the literary world.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, and I have been pushing it, believe me.
Awesome. Thank you so much. If there's a book club out there, too, I always offer to Skype into book clubs for free and, quote-unquote, meet with the book club and have a conversation with them as well.
Okay. I'll tell Dave about that. I think he's more into that thing.
Cool.
All right. Thank you very much, Katie. And I'll just get on with the rest of the stuff here. And this has been, KVRF FM. And I've been talking with Katie Schultz, the author of Flashes of War, short stories, a collection of short stories about Afghanistan and Iraq. Really good book. I highly recommend it.